Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome again to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's great to have everyone on board, and today we have got another beauty, and I'm going to see if you can guess him yet again. He actually represented the Australian under-16s and under-18s and played US college basketball for the University of Maine. As a junior, he also played with NBA star Kyrie Irving's father, Dedrick Irving, for the Bulleen Boomers in the Siebel. He was an assistant coach at the Melbourne Tigers, where he was part of their 2008 NBL championship. He was also head of basketball operations at Frankston Blues and Knotts Basketball, who I've played against many times. He was an assistant coach for 4 years for Melbourne United, winning another championship there. And he was appointed as the inaugural head coach of then the NBL newest team, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. And of course, he is none other than the great man himself, head coach Simon Mitchell. Simon, thanks for joining us, mate.
I'm here. Sorry, mate. I was waiting on the music.
No. No, we just inserted there. That's done post-production.
All right. I'm going to start it off with, okay? Simon, we obviously just want to come straight to the fact, obviously, and we don't want to go into the matter of Mitch Creek, as we know this is in the courts this week. But I want to go inside your head as a head coach and ask you how, when you find out about your leader of your team will no longer be there, or in the short term will not be there, long term, whatever it may be, how as a head coach do you then go to your players and go, right, this is how we've got to do it, this is our focus, and this is what we're going to do? Talk me through that process, please.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good question, and it was obviously a difficult situation for all of us to, as we get through this. I guess we'd had a little bit of experience in missing players throughout the course of this year, and even working at the second half of last year, just trying to get through with the injuries that we incurred then. Now, I'm not saying Mitch Creek is any ordinary absence from a team. He's obviously a big part of what we are. But it was more about identifying what Mitch brings to our team and where players needed to step up. So I guess from my perspective, it was like, okay, can we cover the points and the production and the rebounds and the assists and all those sorts of things? Collectively, we can do our best to try and do that. But I think from a coaching standpoint, it was like, okay, there's a huge emotional vacuum that's going to be lost from the team, and a leadership aspect. So we sat the players down the first session without Mitch and just said, okay, I need you guys to partner up and go speak to your partner in this one, and just make a commitment to what you can bring to try and fill that void while Mitch is away. And I guess, then we had to sit around and talk at the end of practice, because I asked them to sort of identify, with the partners, did you see your partner trying to, do that during the course of this training session? And they gave like an evaluation of each other during the course of the training, or at the end of the training, of what they did during that session. And then we just sort of said, okay, well, most of the guys did pretty well because it was current and it was in their minds. And it was like, okay, well, now you've made a commitment to the player that you partnered up with, and I want you to make that commitment to the team and just, try and fill the void the best we can.
Simon, when did you know that Mitch was going to be facing criminal charges? Because it happened on November 22nd. So at what point did you get that information that he's going to be in trouble with the law at the moment?
The information that was given by, or the statement by the club and the NBL, was pretty much immediate. So yeah, around the same time.
So yeah, it's come as a real shock to your, you've landed Ryan Brokoff, which when you got him, everybody thought, well, that's going to make you guys right up there in the championship contention. So can Ryan also fill a bit of that breach when he finds his touch? Cause he's an NBA player. And Mitch was an NBA fringe player. So are you still sort of relatively confident that you can make up the difference? Because Mitch brought so much.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably a lot to put on Ryan, just because of it's completely different players. Mitch is such an all-round player, diverse in his skill sets. And so is Rowdy, but you know, he's also a marksman and a specialist in a certain specific skill in the sport. And yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Ryan Brockhoff is going to bring us a little bit of scoring once he gets his legs under him. A lot of scoring, some rebounding, some defense, and some leadership attributes. But I don't think you can say, okay, Rowdy, you're in, Mitch, you're out, and you're going to be him now. I feel like there's still going to be, I want Ryan to be Ryan, and I want to identify what we're missing right now and have everyone pick up a little slack.
So can I ask, and I asked Joey Wright this a couple of weeks ago, many years ago, and Simon, you would have been part of this as well. You know, you employ a head coach. The head coach is the one that picks the team, makes the decisions. It's sort of like the old owners would go, right, here's your bunch of money. Go do what you like with it. And you just buy the players that you want and keep them under the salary cap. If there was one, or in the Sydney Kings thing, we were always told we went over it anyway, so it didn't matter. But when you sit down with obviously your GM or CEO, Tommy Greer, is that a collaboration between the two of you? Does, you know, how do you guys do that? Because it looks like you have a great relationship, and the club from day one has been nothing but class. Talk. I just want to go into how you guys do that.
Yeah, I mean, for the most point, I mean, it's been a little bit different and a growing and evolving process. I mean, the first year, it was only me and Tommy in the house to do these sorts of things. So we put that team together between the two of us. But now we've got some other coaches involved as well, so we can lean on them for opinions and how they think they will, you know, prospective players can fit into our program. So the load's probably a little more shared right now, but certainly myself and Tommy work really closely together on the formation of the team and where we think our weaknesses are, where we think our strengths are, who do we feel can best cover our weaknesses or help us get better in certain areas. And those are discussions that we had, you know, both before our inaugural season and in the off season of last year as well. So, you know, we're not one of those, well, to my knowledge, we're not one of the biggest spending clubs. So we have to identify and play a little bit of money ball and identify guys that we feel like, okay, they can, they might be a little bit underappreciated. We may be able to get a little bit more out of them than some other clubs could. So look at Dane Pinot, for instance, where we thought there was real upside to him, but, you know, he wasn't really sort of playing a lot when he was in Sydney. So we'd certainly try to identify those guys throughout, but it's, you know, it's a collaborative effort for sure.
How big a surprise has Yanni Wetzel's form been?
Probably a bigger surprise to others more than in-house.
Right.
We were really keen on Yanni, watching him at San Diego State. Really, really keen. And to be honest, he was the guy I was probably most set on coming out of the college system. Obviously, there were some really good kids coming out, but just for where we were at and what our position was, and certainly with the uncertainty over Dane Pinot's health in the off-season, you know, Yanni was a huge target for us. And we landed him and we lost him, and that was rather disappointing. And but we were lucky that we hadn't really committed to imports at that point in time. So when Yanni let us know that he was available again, he slotted straight in, and obviously he's been a big part of where we're at. Without him, I would really struggle to think of where we might be right now. But he's really well liked. He's loved in the group. I think I know he just loves the club. And I feel like that whilst we keep him in the NBL, I think he'd be a great player for us for a few seasons.
So you've obviously had a number of injuries like a lot of clubs are having, but can you talk to me where you're at? I mean, I know Sykes is back now and Gibbo's coming back and everything. Dane Pinot slowly. Are you guys like full strength yet, or is it still, which I'm not a fan of, I'm sorry, these limited minutes or restricted minutes and stuff, that's old school for us, but where are you at with all that?
They're all on limited minutes right now, actually.
Exactly. Okay, I want to ask you as a coach, right? You're obviously, and I'm sorry, I'll come back to the team. Do you like this limited minutes and restricted minutes? Do you think that's just the way it is nowadays?
Well, I like the limited minutes compared to not having them at all. Right, yeah. So I feel like there's kind of a balance there. Like you can, you know, if I go to the physios and say, hey, I want this guy today, they'd be like, well, you can have him for 10 minutes. But if you're anything over that, these are the percentages of the risk that go up on him getting re-injured or something like that, then I'm going to live with what they tell me. If they say, oh, you want him at 100%, well, that's another 3 weeks. So I'll probably take the incremental moments I can have with these players, but it does sort of, especially them all coming back at the same time, it creates another issue for me personally.
100%.
During the course of the game, like I'm looking down the bench. Like I prefer than looking down the bench and seeing a bunch of guys in street clothes, which is what we're kind of dealing with up until the last week or so. Now I can look down there and I see Dane still in street clothes, but you know, Kiefer's in uniform, Gibbo's in uniform. And so I look down there and at least I can see two warm bodies. Now it's just trying to find, I look down there and I get the, no, you can't put him in. He's above his minutes. That's a pain in the butt. But I've just got to find the balance in that. And that's going to continue. Obviously, you know, Dane's left us again. He's got a little knee injury, but it's not too bad. So we should be getting him back shortly. Obviously Kendall Stevens is out at the moment as well. So he's going to be another couple of weeks and then we'll start it all again.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to introduce restricted minutes on Brad Rosen on this program. it doesn't seem to be working.
Hey, my wife's been trying to do it on me for years. Don't worry.
Oh, I've been getting those restricted minutes too, mate. I get it.
Something we can all identify with. Now, I've got the big challenging question for you. Can you pronounce Isaiah's name?
Moi Hoholiafa.
There's no need to be like that.
Yeah, I hope I got it right. You guys aren't going to know.
That's true,
mate, too. We're in the media. There's no way we would know.
Research? Isn't that a subtle?
Yeah, no, he's a ripper, Isaiah. Yeah.
What a great pickup he's been, mate. That's just come out, I don't want to say out of nowhere because that's not fair to him, but really, you know, like unbelievable.
Yeah, I think his performances, I wasn't surprised by Yanni. I've been a little bit, I wouldn't say surprised, but certainly pleased with the ascension of Isaiah. You know, watching him in college, he played in a system where they'd score 50 points a game. They may have 60 possessions a game. And it was like watching paint dry. And you're trying to envision a kid and say, well, geez, how would he fit in our system? And it's, you know, we kind of don't play that sort of system. We like to get up and down the floor and play at a high level, you know, high pace. And, you know, it's hard to sort of envision. But, you know, watching him in the New Zealand League in the off season, you could see that he certainly was a player that could get up and down the floor and create issues at both ends of the floor. So, we brought him in. Well, actually, we signed him and then brought him in. So he was definitely the guy for us, or we felt the guy for us, and we felt he had an NBL career ahead of him. And we thought that we initially thought we were going to get production out of him straight off the bat, but he went back to America for a little while, and when he got into town, he probably wasn't in the best of shape. So he may have just started the season a little behind the eight ball, but that's part of being a kid and learning the ropes of how to be a professional. But by the time that his number was called with Kiefer getting injured, he'd certainly got himself into shape by that point, and he was doing really well at practice. So we weren't nervous about throwing him opportunities, but I certainly didn't see some of the performances that he's put on coming our way. So I'm really pleased with that.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, the one thing I've always loved about you, Simon, is you'll just say it how it is. So you are now sitting, you know, third on the ladder. You're doing well. I want to get your take on, A, where the season is at for you guys. And if you put a benchmark, I mean, look, it'd be wrong to say that Perth and Melbourne aren't out there, but I want to know where you think you're at and what you're telling your team.
Yeah, really good question. And kind of had a discussion with the playing group today about this as well. We've been really fortunate to play Perth five times at the start of the year, and that's the third time now that we've played Melbourne. So sitting in third with 80 of your games against the two top teams, and I think, you know, there's a little bit of a gap between those two and the rest of us, to be honest, right now. Now, what I've really enjoyed about playing those teams and being challenged by those guys is that they've shown us at times where we fall short. They've shown us exactly where we need to get to. And I thought Melbourne did a fantastic job against us on Saturday night with regards to their constant ball pressure, both on the ball and also their work in the passing lanes. And they've both clubs have taken us to a new level, I think. And I feel like the Perth series that we had, you know, was a five-gamer. The fifth game was our first without Kiefer in the lineup. We lose by one in somewhat controversial circumstances, whatever. It was just a great series for us to be a part of. And I think they've really helped us develop as a basketball club because of those five games. The Melbourne United one, I think the game that we had on Saturday night really showed us where we're lacking in some areas, but also, you know, we went into the game, you know, again, probably a little undermanned, and we know that some of those areas that we fell short on that we can rely upon those guys who are going to come into the team to help us alleviate that. So sitting third on the table, I think it's an honest third for us. I know there's been a bit made about, you know, all those extra home games in the NBL Cup. I'm not as certain as that was a bigger home court advantage as people would think. I feel like there's a relative neutrality to it all. Purely because, I mean, it's not always better to sleep in your own bed, but the other aspects that go into the game, like we had to meet, you know, half an hour from the stadium, you know, an hour before we would normally meet at the gym to get on a bus to go to the game. So it's like the whole just getting to the game's like a 3-hour ordeal, which is not unlike traveling on the road. So there were some elements to it than that. And don't for a moment think, you know, you don't need to get the violins going. I certainly understand the aspect of, you know, staying in Melbourne being somewhat of an advantage. But I feel like that, you know, there was perhaps not as great an advantage as people like to think. So for us, yeah, I feel like we're a real third with the way the schedule's panned out. I think we've earned our spot there. You know, I look, you know, right now, and again, I don't disrespect the teams that are down there, but I look at, you know, right now, I think out of the bottom two teams, we've played them once each. And some of the other teams that are in the group with us, fighting it out for one of those playoff spots in Sydney and Brisbane, we've only played once each as well. So I think there's an opportunity for us moving forward.
Now, Simon, Great answer.
It really was. Simon, just looking into the future a little bit, projecting forward, you know, we hear a lot that Matthew Dellavedova and Joe Ingles and players of that ilk in the NBA would like to complete their careers in Australia. What are the chances that you might sign Kyrie Irving when he's finished his NBA career?
Probably not real good. I feel like, what is he, 29? He's probably got another 10 years in the league. Right now.
Oh, so 1.4 billion. Another 1.4 billion. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
I tell you what, if I'm coaching at Southeast in 10 years' time, I'd be pretty damn happy. Yeah, it means we've had a fair bit of success in the preceding 10 years. So, as you said in the preview, his father, Dedrick's a good mate of mine, and we've been very good friends for a long time. And Kyrie's a very unique talent. And whilst he was born in Australia, I don't know if we'll ever see him playing basketball over here, to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't see it. Mate, we could go on all day, and it's brilliant. But one of the things that we love to do here before we let people go is we throw some players and coaches' names out and people that you will know. And we're just looking for like a one word, one line, one sentence sort of answer on what you feel and what they've meant. So I'm going to start it off, and the 2008 MVP, and I'm going to ask you your opinion. Chris Anstey.
Superstar. Maybe the most overlooked superstar of the NBL, and it's unfortunate. I feel like he hasn't quite got his the credit that he deserves as being one of the absolute all-time greats of the NBL. That was a lot of words for one.
No, great answer.
He changed the game. He was the first seven-footer that went out and started hitting threes. And, yeah, he definitely doesn't get the credit that he's deserved. But I think that's possibly because he's quite a vocal guy, and I think the league doesn't really like too many people that are that vocal. Brett Brown.
Well, historically, we've not really warmed to seven-footers either, have we? I mean, even the Wilts and the Kareems and all these guys, you know, their names well in the, you know, way past first position in the greatest player of all time. Yeah. You know, it's Michael and then them. So, you know, like we just don't warm to them because I guess we look at the seven-footers as being just a little different than us mere mortals.
Hey, Will Chamberlain's biography was called Nobody Loves Goliath.
Yeah.
Great title for a book.
I thought it was 20,000 and counting.
Just wanted to let you know, just between Boddy and I, Simon, my nickname for Boddy is Goliath, because no one likes Goliath. So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
This is what I'm going to put up with every week, Simon. All
right, listen, you guys are harsh, aren't you?
Only to each other.
Let me throw this one at you, Brett Brown.
Oh, can't use superstar to use that. Definitely a mentor. You know, someone I was fortunate to play under for a number of years, in juniors and then shortly in senior basketball as well. And someone who I've molded myself on to an extent.
Oh, great answer. I have asked this one before of other coaches, but I like to get different one. Gibbo, Adam Gibson.
Coach in waiting. The intellect on this guy is ridiculous. He sees things, you know, he's sitting on the bench there and I hear him yelling something and I usually just repeat it because I know it's right. He's just a stud. Love Gibbo, and he's made my transition into senior coaching a lot easier just with his viewpoints.
Ty Wesley.
Want to give him a hug. He's such a great guy. Just was unreal leadership for us last year. It was a completely different role for him, being on the sideline for the majority of it. You know, we really wanted him back this year, but totally understood his decision to start the rest of his life. I don't think, well, just the uncertainty of COVID and the idea of having a very young family all cooped up for 2 weeks in a hotel room and taking our pay cut was probably not the most attractive sales pitch we ever threw at him. But that was what the reality was, and totally respect his decision. And I'm glad that he and his family are doing really well.
Simon, it's a true character the way you answer those questions, and that's why you're classed as a player's coach, and that's probably the biggest compliment you can ever have. So, mate, we can't thank you enough. Apologise for anything Boddy did and everything, but I just want to say thank you so much, mate.
Restricted minutes. Got to have restricted minutes on Rose and Jesus. Go on.
Mate, thank you so much. We wish you all the best. I've got to be honest, the thing that's just sticking in my mind is that answer, how you've played Perth and Melbourne.
Yeah.
That was just a great answer. So, mate, thank you. We wish you all the best for the rest of the season, and good luck with everything. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the invite, guys. And just a quick shout-out to Alex Pledger and the news that's come out today.
Yes.
A lot of love for the Chief. He's a ripping bloke, and I wish him all the best in his next battle.
Yeah, that is. It's a big shame, obviously, for our listeners. It's a cancer diagnosis. It has been come out today, and it's such a shame. It's a shock. They have got it early, is what all accounts are, and he's obviously trying to fight that. So our love and best wishes go out with him. Simon, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm just enjoying all these interviews, Boddy. It's great. We've got a number of coaches that we've been through, and we've got more to go, and it's just so much fun.
Now, just before we start talking about NBL, I just have a theory. I just want to try something. Just hang on a second. The Big Show.
Well, it's a big show.
Can I just tell our viewers, I had no idea that was happening. I had no idea that was happening. Oh, you are the man, mate. You are the man. Oh,
come on, let's talk NBL. I've got a big question for you.
Go for it. You start.
New Zealand Breakers, 5-11, but they're getting another import coming in. They've got the young man that William McDowell White that played for Sydney coming in. 5-11. Adelaide 36ers, 7-13. Still got Isaac Humphries and Josh Giddey to come back. Either one of these teams figure at all under whatever circumstances, do you think they can make the four?
Not a chance, is my opinion. Boom, boom for Boddy. So let's move on here, and we talk about obviously the rounds that have been. Obviously some great games. We just finished round 11. I'll just quickly run through. Melbourne got a win. Perth, man. Illawarra and the Kings. Did they dominate those two teams? Wow.
Yeah.
New Zealand beating Brisbane. The Phoenix, as we spoke to Sam Mitchell, got touched up by United. And then Cairns got a win over your boys, Adelaide. And of
Don't
course,
call them my boys. Yeah, if they were my boys, I'd be subbing Brandon Paul in. I'd be starting Brandon Paul and I'd be running plays for him. So don't call them my boys, guys. That program is a train wreck right now. Don't even start me. Don't even start.
So how's Adelaide going, mate? We won't go there. I just wanted to mention, obviously, the Illawarra and Brisbane. Hey, we predicted that last week. You remember we said Hurt was playing? And we'll talk how good Bryce Cotton was, and it was. But, of course, Illawarra and Brisbane. Yeah, we record this on a Monday because that's when we can get the coaches and everything. So this, obviously, Illawarra-Brisbane game. Come on, Boddy, throw it to me. I'm saying Illawarra by 8.
Yeah, I like Illawarra as well. Of course, we don't know when we recorded this whether Matt Hodgson will be playing, and hopefully he won't run into his usual problem of, you know, 3 quick silly fouls.
Boom, boom, and we move on. Okay, I also want to mention as well, while we're talking about this, of course, our forming of partnership with Piranha Media. We just want to say thank you so much to them. Obviously, we know there's an internet TV show, which is Racing, Pacing and Chasing. They've also got the AFL footy show that goes on there with Greg Anderson and Nathan Grimmer. And, of course, our man, Phil, the General Smith. Community show is also happening, and there's special documentaries throughout the year. So make sure you check that out, and we love being part of their team. Boddy, let's talk about next round. Round 12 has come out. In fact, round 12, 13 and 14. Can I just say right now, we do not know what's going on with Brisbane. There's going to look like there's a hard lockdown. At this stage, I believe they are playing Southeast Melbourne this Friday. There was no message yet that I know of, Boddy, that's come out in the league to say
anything. I haven't seen it. No.
So, look, I think the NBL have done a fabulous job with this.
They'll roll
with it and go with it. But let's just start with Thursday night. We've got Illawarra at home against the Kings. Who you got?
Illawarra.
Yeah, I got to be with you after that showing. Perth versus New Zealand, do we have to ask? Melbourne versus Cairns, do we have to ask? I like this one. I'm with you, but I like this one. Brisbane versus Phoenix in Brisbane. Again, if it's hot.
Yeah, it's a 5-day lockdown, so I don't think it will be in Brisbane. And if that fixture occurs and they swap it and then play that one in Melbourne and later, you know, play the one that's scheduled for Melbourne.
Well, I don't think they can because I know there is a lockdown today where Melbourne are not letting people from, at this stage, I believe it's Brisbane, not Queensland. So just Brisbane at the moment. They can't fly in. So I can't see it going ahead, but it would be good. Then can you believe it? Sydney are backing up against Perth. I have absolutely no doubt Sydney will be a better show, but they've got to concentrate on Thursday night first against Illawarra.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't see anything but a Perth win again, mate.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's hard to tip against them. They've won 7 straight. That will take us to 9 straight by
then. Yeah, and they'll keep going. Then I've just got to do it. Illawarra, who are they playing on Saturday? Oh, that's right, your boys in Adelaide.
Oh, stop.
Who you got? Illawarra, move on. Then again, Phoenix at home against the Breakers. Obviously, that will be fine. And who you got?
Probably Phoenix.
I'm going with you. Cairns at home against Melbourne. Only thing, you're going to say Melbourne, aren't you?
Of course.
Yeah, Cairns, there's something about when they play Melbourne, but I don't know if it's that this year. But anyway.
Not with Kuat Noi gone and Majok Dan gone. I just, beating Adelaide, well, you know, that was no huge shock. I think we both predicted that. Well,
yeah.
I know, I certainly did. And I just don't think Adelaide's organised. I think it's a little bit of a rabble right at the moment.
Last game, I'll just talk very quickly. Brisbane are at home against Perth. We don't know what's going to go on there, but Perth to win that one, I assume. And last one, New Zealand versus Adelaide to round out the round.
Is that in Launceston?
Yes, that's at the Silver Dome.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Silver Dome away. I'm going with New Zealand too. First game at their new home. You know, they'll feel good having flown over the Bass Strait. They'll feel like they've flown over the Tasman. They'll feel like, oh, we're feeling good. It's almost like home.
Righto, mate.
People here speak with different vowels. Okay.
Give me a nudge. Nasty, you go first.
All right. My nasty is the Huddles. I am so sick and tired of the Huddles. Why is it that every time there's a foul call that, you know, Kyle Adam's got to call his Phoenix boys in. Come on, guys, I've got something important to say. Or Sean Bruce has got to get the Kings in. We've got something important. Mitch Norton, get everyone here. Come on, huddle. every freaking foul. How can you have that much to say? For God's sake, it's a game of basketball. Just shut the hell up and get on with it.
Mate.
God, I can huddle here and there, fine. I dig that. But every freaking foul call, a huddle, give me a break. Brad,
you hate the huddle.
If you
you hate the huddle because back in your day, someone would have probably headbutted you, so you don't want to do the huddle. But the huddle is to make sure that no player's going to say something to get a tech foul and all of that, mate. That's what they do it for.
Give me a break. Huddle
now,
up.
I want to go with my wrap-up. I'm one. I actually think the referees do a pretty good job, and I'm one to back them.
I know.
But
you're
I've got to just
for the
say.
Lobotomy
yeah exactly. I've just got to say. The tech foul on Ware yesterday when he was going at Bryce Cotton, I didn't think that was what, like, technically, right.
Outrageous.
Right? That's the rule. Outrageous. It's technically, but we want that in our game. We
absolutely.
Want that. Yeah,
look,
that was
at the promotion for that. I mean, you were there. You were doing the call. The promotion for that game was the head-to-head between Casper and Bryce.
Yeah.
They've got history. They love competing against each other. And it's not like, okay, so he had a crack at him after he scored. Well, what does the referee expect? That Bryce Cotton's now going to punch him and that Casper's then going to put him in a headlock and we've got to stop this from happening. Like, we don't want that taken out of the game. I mean, obviously we want volatile, stupid behavior when you're standing over somebody sort of thing. We want that out.
Yeah.
But be real. That's part of the game. That's part of why we went to see that contest.
Yeah.
Hated that call.
I got to agree. So, anyway, mate, I think that's it. Yeah, nothing more. So to everyone, thanks again. Piranha Media, thanks. We love being on board with you guys. Make sure everyone checks out. Simon, that was great. I love that.
It was good, wasn't it?
We played them eight times. I didn't know that. I would not have picked that up. So that's
honestly, Brad, I did know that, but I hadn't actually consciously thought that. Well, there's out of the 10 times they're going to play them, they've already done it eight. I hadn't actually thought that.
No, it's fabulous. Yeah, great analogy. And
Simon says that should be a new thing on our show.
Giddy up. I like that. And also make sure you check out Boddy's website, BOTINAGY.com, and check it all out. And well, thank you, everyone. And we'll see you next week. Okay, man, I've got to ask you, what the hell was that Saint music?
Why do we have the Saint music when Simon comes?
What was it?
Because, you know, it's the Saint is Simon Templar, and that's the only Simon music around. So, I mean, you know, I thought, well, we've got
Simon Templar.
Simon Templar was the Saint, you know, that played by Roger Moore, and oh, my goodness, come on.
Roger Moore?
Don't pretend you're that guy. He's not even with us anymore. Don't pretend you don't know. You give me a musical bit that's got Mitchell in it, and I'll take my hat off to you.